And the black acts on the show, which included Dionne Warwick, Benny King, The Drifters, Patti LaBelle and The Bluebells, they would sing improvised backups off stage. And it'd go, I don't have anything. And they'd sing anything, anything. And it was great. But in general, it started to get very exciting, I will say. And there was a measure of adulation. And we did start to get a measure of that sort of Beatles experience whereby you couldn't venture out of the hotel without having people running after you. You'd have the sometimes quite frightening experiences of girls running after you with scissors, because the great thing then was to try and get a lock of hair, you know. When you had scissors waving at you, you know, it could be pretty frightening, actually. It is true that Tell 'Er No came out in America before the UK, because what happened, we did the follow-up session and we were actually recording Tell 'Er No. While we were actually recording that, a phone call came through from America. It was late at night because the time changed and everything, and someone walked in and said, "Is Al Gallagher on the phone?" And Al was the publisher in America, dear old Al. He was on the phone saying, "She's not there's number one," you know. So is this really, you know, it couldn't have been scripted better in a film, you know. I mean, it really was like one of the early Elvis films. You know, you cut the record and it's the next day it's number one, you know. But anyway, we're recording Tell 'Er No and She's Not There as number one. On the same session that we recorded Tell 'Er No, we recorded several other tracks, and one of those tracks was Leave Me Be, Chris White's song, which was to become our second single in England. Now, I must say there were two things that strike me about that. One is that none of us really thought that that was the obvious single from the session, but the producer Ken and the record company felt it was. And one of the reasons they thought, this is the second point, one of the reasons they thought that it was, when we recorded the first session with She's Not There and the other songs, we just went in there, we wanted it to be exciting and we just wanted to do a good reading of the songs and make a great record. People looked at things in a more calculated way for the second session. We didn't, but Ken and the record company, but particularly Ken, I think, thought, what is it that's made She's Not There successful? And in his mind, it was Colin's breathy vocals. Now, Colin's vocals were certainly one of the things that made that record very successful. But the breathiness was natural, and it wasn't artificially highlighted. On the second session, particularly on Leave Me Be, Ken tried to really emphasise the breathiness of Colin's vocals. So instead of the ingredients being natural, they were artificially emphasised, I think. There might have been a way we could have made it, you know, stronger. But nevertheless, I don't think that was the natural second single. And it flopped here. And then they released Tell 'Er No in this country. And Tell 'Er No was a hit, but a very small one. It only reached number 30. But it was the second follow-up single in America. And of course, it was a top five single in America too. And I remember doing a tour. The tour that we did in America after the Murray the K Show was a Dick Clark tour, which was also great. And we linked up with another tour that was going around, and Little Anthony was on that tour, you know, whose record Going Out of My Head was one of my absolute favourites. You know, again, that was a knockout moment, because he came up to me and said, "Oh man, Tell 'Er No, that's my song, you know, I love it." Well, I mean, I suppose the impact on the chemistry of the group, of all the initial success and everything, I think with the Zombies it was basically very positive. At least, the thing was, we were together for 3 years maybe, from our inception to the time we turned professional. And that was a great time. But then, we were only together for 3 years. The impact of the early professional success, I think, was basically positive. Although, all the touring meant, I don't think either Chris or I really wrote while we were on the road. And all the touring meant that the actual emphasis gets changed from the more creative side of things. You might be doing one gig a week in the semi-pro days, and that's pretty close to home. And you're spending a lot of the time listening to records, being very enthusiastic, writing. The emphasis changes more to the considerations of live stuff. And in a way, that happens with everybody, and that's slightly detrimental. At the same time, we were writing, and we thought we were still writing good stuff all the time. I remember one particular song we had that everyone thought was going to be a hit here in America, called Whenever You're Ready, which did nothing anywhere. And we thought that was a pretty good record. And we thought a lot of the records were pretty good. And generally, after She's Not There and Tell 'Er No, which were two very big hits, over the next 2 years, things started to slide, really. We had one in America called She's Coming Home, which was a top 50 hit, but it wasn't a major hit. And it was very frustrating. And the frustrations, really, of the hits not continuing to come were what more than anything had an impact on the chemistry of the group. Because then you start to look outside and say, well, maybe we should start doing covers. We did a Dee Dee Warwick song called Gotta Get a Hold of Myself. We did Going Out of My Head. We even did a cover of My Girl, which I'd heard by The Temptations in America, loved. And that Temptations record wasn't a hit in England. And we come back and started to do like a harmony cover of their version. And as we come away from the recording session, we heard Otis Redding's version here. So, I mean, you know, we had to forget about that. But basically, it was the frustrations, really, that caused the impact on the chemistry of the group. But there was another thing, and that was also, I mean, I've done a lot of production recently, and I've had some success, and I realise all the problems involved with production, so I'm not putting Ken Jones down at all when I say this. I actually think he was a very talented producer.
Life's like that, isn't it? Only the other day I was walking in the West End and suddenly I was set upon by hordes of fans and admirers who wanted to touch my clothes. So I took sanctuary in a nearby cinema. Normally, of course, I don't go in, but that day I saw something that really moved me. I'd like to share this wonderful experience with you. It was The Sound of Music.
Your feet right now. stand up for rock and soul radio. You're listening to Bad Teeth on WFMU with your host, Spoonie. Never stop stomping your feet. This goes out to Corey, she does it right.
She walks hard every night until the morning.
Here's one for all the cheap hoods and two-bit thugs who listen to Bad Teeth. This is new from Puffer.
Oh,
You're listening to Bad Teeth on WFMU's Rock and Soul Radio. The right kind of blackout. Helping you come down from a summer scorcher. The first, and probably not the last, of the summer. Hopefully your grid is holding up. You're not pedaling a bike that's manually powering a generator, but if you are, it's up to me to make it worth your while. I'm worth the sweat. Who am I? I'm Spoonie. You can find me here every Monday night from 9 to 10 on WFMU's Rock and Soul Radio. One of the few last bastions of rock and roll. What do we hear in that set? What made it worth the 2 pounds of water weight that you lost trying to power your apartment so you could thrill to every needle drop? Well, we end it with Savage Beliefs. You knew it was going to be good because the 80s hardcore bass line that opened it up. Weird What's Left in the Fridge from Wasteland Records from Chicago. That's off of the Moral Efficiency of Savage Beliefs EP. Send it out to Tom Dash. That's right, Tom Dash of Dot Dash Records. He's back on the WFMU Bitwaves. That's right, he's now a member of the Super Tuesday crew. Starting last week, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., from 4 to 6 p.m., catch Tom Dash's show. He had a regular show on the terrestrial stream for a while. He's left to pursue taxidermy. He got bored with that. Now he's back. You don't have to wait for fill-ins anymore. The man's got a regular home. And he wisely put his show after mine on the week because now I can't steal from him anymore. Boo! Boo, Tom! Before Savage Beliefs were in controllers with Neutron Bomb, a quaint notion these days. What Neutron Bombs have in common... A Neutron Bomb, for those of you who didn't sweat through the 80s, is a nuclear weapon that leaves the infrastructure intact. Okay. But the radiation wipes out all living things. What neutron bombs have in common with me is that it likes the stuff. It's all about the stuff. It's a very 80s materialistic kind of bomb. We don't think about them anymore. We think about different bombs now. More practical bombs. Not these fanciful neutron things. Yeah, controllers. Early Hollywood punk. Great single. Before that, we heard Les Thugs with Night Dance off of Gugnoff Movement, the label Gugnoff Movement. I do not believe I'm pronouncing that correctly at all. Les Thugs got some hits. They got some hits to them, man. Before Les Thugs, we heard something new from Puffer off of their new Street Hassle LP. Weird Blood in the Streets off of Brooklyn's Roach Leg Records. Great label. I love Puffer. Something to pop your leather jacket to. Before Puffer, we heard something new from Ravagers. They've got a new LP out called On the Loose. Released by, I think it's self-released, actually. From Baltimore. The Baltimore Terrors themselves. Their new release is fantastic. Weird Total Crime. For the Ravagers, we heard Slade with Squeeze Me, Please Me from Reprise Records. The right patina to that single. Dedicated to no one, because it would be upsetting if I dedicated a song called Squeeze Me, Please Me to anyone. Before Slade, actually I should have dedicated that to Corey, but instead, Dr. Feelgood. The other maybe sex pests were dedicated to Corey. She Does It Right off of the Down by the Jetty LP released by United Artists from 1975, their first LP release. That's the first track on that. Then a deuce of glam standards, novelties of the rest of the world. but to the WFMU commentariat and Illuminati. This is our, these are our Jingle Bell Rocks. Weird Crunch with Let's Do It Again off of Youngblood Records. We started the show with Iron Virgin out of Edinburgh with Rebel Rule from 1974 from Derham Records. We got time for some programming notes before I move on with the show. Some cool stuff happening this week. James Macer and the Gold Stars are going to be playing an Evan Funk Davies show this Wednesday. Just one more reason to tune in to EFD every Wednesday from noon to 3 p.m. James Macer, he co-founded the Bongos in 1980. He's played with Richard Lloyd, Health and Happiness show. He's been touring with Ian Hunter. Yeah, he's playing some solo material this weekend, or this Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, including, apparently Dennis Dykin is playing with him as well. That's, do I gotta spell it all out? You need to be there. And on Saturday, June 28th, from 3 to 6 p.m., God's Own Todophonic is going to have the Bug Club in Atlantic Thrills. The heart of indie rock right now and the fists of rock and roll. Bug Club in Atlantic Thrills. That's going to be a good show. Check it out. But now, I have a show too. One of the things I do on that show is I play music on it. So let's do that now. Let's listen to Civic. This is off their new LP, Chrome Dip, from ATO Records out of Melbourne. I'm sending this out to Scott Oz. You're listening to Bad Teeth on WFMU's Rock and Soul Radio with me, your host, Spoony. dedicated to the memory of Jerry Scheibel. This is Mudhoney.
I'm
crushing those rolled R's. We ended that tiny little set with the U-Men. We heard Blight from Bomb Shelter Records, the Seattle OGs. Everyone credits them with founding grunge, but I don't know, maybe. Look, I wasn't there for it. I always thought they had more in common with the birthday party, but one band I was there for was Mudhoney, My People. We heard No One Has off of Super Muff Big Fuzz, my blue marble colored 12-inch. It's the greatest. Super Muff Big Fuzz is still untouchable. Before Mudhoney, we heard Laughing Hyena with Let It Burn off of the Life of Crime EP, released by Touch and Go. That's from 1990. Speaking of Touch and Go, we heard something new from Civic. It's not off of Touch and Go Records, but we heard a track off their new LP, Starting All the Dogs Off. So I gotta say this about that new LP. It maybe does not have the visceral jolt that Taken by Force does, but this has some grown-up songs on it. And one of those was Starting All the Dogs Off. I thought that song could have easily lived in the Touch and Go catalog. No, the entire album is really good. I've listened to it a lot lately. I don't think I've been playing it, but it's been sitting on my turntable for a while. Let's change gears. I would like to congratulate my daughter Constance on officially clearing fifth grade. We went to her stepping up ceremony this morning. A lot of fun. I learned something about my daughter, and that is she smiles the most in pictures with people she hates. Having the insight of who's been grinding her gears all year and who's her alpha pookie, I was keeping track of who she was smiling the brightest with. And I learned something very dark about little girls today. Let's listen to Toots and the Maytals. This is Pomp and Pride. You're listening to Bad Teeth on WFMU's Rock and Soul Radio. Congratulations, Constance. Yeah. the Surface Noise specials continue with The Slicker.
Walking down the road with a pistol in your waist, Johnny had to bear. Walking down the road with a ratchet in your waist, Johnny had to bear. One of these days, when the hero boys say come, we're gonna run. One of these days, when the hero boys say come, we're gonna run. You're gonna run to the rock for rescue, there will be no rock. Walking down the road with a pistol in your waist, Johnny had to bear. Walking down the road with a ratchet in your waist, Johnny had to bear. You're just robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting, boy, you're too bad. You're just robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting, boy, you're too bad. One of these days, when you hear a voice say come, we're gonna run. One of these days, when you hear a voice say come, we're gonna run. Thank you.
organ work from Neville Hines. We heard Sunday Gravy from Duke Reed Records. Then The Slicker with Johnny Too Bad. A true Jamaican potboiler from Panther Records. Then Carl Bryan. Carl and the Aces with Look Who Is Back from Technique Records. Carl Bryan, one of the Technique's all-stars. And we started that set with Toots and the Maytals with Pomp and Pride. Congratulations, Constance. I'm so proud of you. You'll never hear this, but you will. You know what a proud papa I am. I'll talk to you next week. This is Bad Teeth on WFMU's Rock and Soul Radio. I'm your host, Spoony. Stay tuned for the bunny. Good night. Positive.